Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingola Consulting. Cingola Consulting was founded with the single mission to assist healthcare organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air to engage in a conversation about the patient experience, with a focus on the development and optimization in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
Thank you for joining us today. I am Fran Horner, co-host of Experience Health Radio.
And I'm A.J. Malaranio, president and founder of Cingola Consulting. Today is an exciting day for us as it marks our first show, and we are extremely excited to share with our audience our experiences, as well as the experiences of our guests, live every week at 11 a.m. Central Time, on demand through our website at cingolaconsulting.com, and you can also download them through iTunes. Today's topic is healthcare contact centers of today.
You're right, AJ, and according to a study done by Judith B. Strother of the Florida Institute of Technology, it's interesting that approximately two-thirds of all U.S. hospitals employ call centers for a variety of purposes, and you know that number is steadily increasing. You know, of course, that number depends on what you define as a contact center. Hospital contact centers often consist of traditional switchboard operators, you know, that triage calls to the appropriate provider, a department, an individual, even a patient room. They might also have more sophisticated contact centers that support business-related efforts, you know, like hospital billing and collections. We also see that healthcare contact centers also represented by nurse triage lines or health management systems and more by marketing campaigns for health-related programs such as seminars, exercise classes, or even training courses. But in an integrated healthcare delivery system, contact centers vary by size and can be operated to support things like scheduling and registration functions for the clinical departments and physician offices. You know, AJ, it's for this reason that we believe the contact centers have become of strategic value in any healthcare system because of its impact on patient engagement and customer loyalty.
Fran, as you know, today's special guest is Paul Spiegelman. Paul is the Chief Culture Officer of Stericycle, listed as a global services organization with 13,000 employees, and is the founder of Barrel Health and the Barrel Institute. Paul also co-founded the Inc. Small Giants community, an organization that brings together leaders who are focused on value-based business principles. As a former CEO of Barrel Health, Paul led a unique people-centric culture for a company that won 9 Best Places to Work awards, including number 2 Best Medium-Sized Company to Work For in America. Paul was honored with the Ernst & Young 2010 Entrepreneur of the Year Award. Paul is sought-after speaker and author on leadership, employment engagement, entrepreneurship, corporate culture, and customer relationships. He makes frequent radio and TV appearances and writes columns on culture for Inc. magazine and the Dallas Business Journal. He's written several books on employee engagement and is New York Times' best-selling author of Patients Come Second, Leading Change by Changing the Way You Lead. Paul practiced law for 2 years prior to founding Barrel Health. He holds a bachelor's degree in history from UCLA and a law degree from Southwestern University. To learn more about Paul, please visit his website at paulspiegelman.com. Paul, I can't thank you enough for joining us today.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
So just a reminder, today's topic for our audience is healthcare contact centers of today. So let's jump right in with Paul. And Paul, can you share with us your view of what healthcare contact centers of today look like in most healthcare organizations?
Well, AJ, it's hard to generalize about healthcare call centers of today, but it is safe to say they've come a long way. In the old days, the healthcare contact center might be very transactional, focusing on everything from a hospital switchboard to helping consumers get physician referrals, scheduling opportunities, etc. But it was very much done in silos. And what you're seeing today is that with the changes going on in healthcare, healthcare contact centers are changing as well, and realizing that they are a very critical part of the overall patient experience strategy of the organization. And so it's become a much more strategic function in the hospital and healthcare organizations today. And the best ones are ones that combine all of their services in order to serve patients in the community into a single, what might be called a super contact center that allows people to communicate in multiple channels 24/7 to get whatever they need from the organization.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, Paul, because what we've seen also is some of the reports, for example, like Deloitte, that say 62% of organizations view the customer experience provided through a contact center as a competitive differentiator, and then 82% recognize things like accuracy and quality of information as the most important customer experience attribute. You know, are you seeing that? What do you think the key customer experience drivers are?
Well, I think those are the ones that you mentioned, Fran, and I think that applies really in every industry. If you think about the consumer experience, there's really three areas that a consumer is going to think about when purchasing something, for example. It's going to be some combination of cost, quality, and service. And in many industries, and now in healthcare, cost and quality are really equal among many organizations, and the only remaining differentiator is service. And many times the contact center is the first and maybe the last touch points in the whole customer experience. So it's critical that be at a high level. It does become a competitive differentiator because that's really all that's left. And so if we can use our contact center experience with our customers or our patients or their families, and we can make a positive impression all along the way just by doing the basics, being responsive, being kind and compassionate on the phone, being transparent when we make a mistake, that's what's going to make our customers, our patients, and their families loyal to our organizations.
Paul, the experience that we've had as we are traveling around the country working with healthcare organizations isn't always just the technology as the problem or maybe the processes maybe aren't optimized as well as it could be. The common thread that we have seen is the leadership of where a contact center should reside and who owns that within an organization, whether that's marketing or operations, and sometimes we've seen it in IT. What is your opinion on where you think a contact center should reside as far as the leadership role and who owns it?
That's a great question, AJ, and like you said, it's all over the map in different parts of the country, and I think that has a lot to do with where call center services reside. It could be a help desk, so it might reside in our IT, or if it's used to help consumers get physician referrals, it might be in marketing. As the call center or the contact center has become a much more strategic function, I believe that the ownership needs to be in the C-suite, and that the C-suite has to realize that the contact center, outside of the clinical services, can be one of the most important ways for them to provide service to their customers. And if it's not owned at that high level in the organization, it has the risk of floundering in silos, not getting the attention that it needs, not getting the investment it needs, not getting sometimes the leadership it needs on a daily basis to be most effective. So in order to get the attention that it deserves, I believe that the ownership of it, or certainly the sponsorship of the contact center, needs to be at the C-suite level. It might be a COO. It could even be the CEO. But those that we find to be the most successful and that have the biggest roles in the organization, I see the sponsorship being at the C-suite level, where they understand the importance, they apply the appropriate resources and technology to make sure that that contact center not only survives but thrives and is consistent in its delivery across the organization.
And something just to add on to that, Paul, something that we have also noticed is the challenge of centralizing scheduling and registration. Physicians and other clinicians are sometimes a little hesitant on giving up their schedule and putting that into a centralized location that sometimes they don't even know where it is. So to add on to what you said about having that in the C-suite, I would think that it's imperative to have the executives and the management team together on what that vision is to help create that adoption and that acceptance of centralizing some of their functions.
That's right. Just like you would have a vision for the entire organization, there needs to be a vision for the contact center strategy, and everybody needs to buy into that. And quite often that is going to mean some level of consolidation, as should happen, or some level of centralization. If the folks that are operating the contact center are doing it in a way where they're collaborative, they're responsive, and they're developing trust with the various stakeholders they have in the organization, then over time, some of those silos, those walls will fall down, and those that want to control those aspects of the business will become more amenable to partnering with others in the organization. Because you think about it, yes, the doctor, for example, might want to control his or her schedule, but if they can trust that someone else can manage that with the appropriate business rules and do it with quality, they can focus on their core competency, which is delivering great patient care, not managing their schedule.
Exactly.
Couldn't agree more, Paul. It's one of the reasons when we do a contact center assessment, we typically look at operational readiness. And that includes, you know, getting that senior management support for this new servicing vision. And I think what helps that is, you know, having a compelling business case to show the incremental benefits and contributions of a newly structured patient access center. So certainly one of the things that we look for as well, and we hope to help, you know, our clients with when we're helping them develop that strategy for their contact center.
Yeah, that assessment is critical, because if you don't understand exactly where you are today, develop a baseline, you don't know how to build a plan of where to go forward, let alone measure it. And you want to certainly be able to measure the incremental changes you're making for all of the stakeholders in the process.
Couldn't agree more. You know, one of the things you talk about in your book, Patients Come Second, you talk about how leaders must first create that exceptional team, you know, finding the people who deliver that exceptional customer service and finding ways to engage employees by connecting their work with a higher purpose and equipping them with tools to become leaders themselves. You know, I think if you could talk a little bit more about how patient care can be dramatically transformed by finding ways to engage your employees, especially in a contact center environment, that would be helpful.
Well, sure. You know, in my book, Patients Come Second, the title is a little bit controversial on purpose, because there's all this talk in healthcare about patient-centered care and patients first. But the fact is, if we can't fix the internal cultures in our organizations, make our employees and our team members happy about the work that they're doing every day and be fulfilled, connected to a higher purpose, it's going to be much more difficult for them to engage the patient. And it's particularly so in a call center or contact center environment where our team members are taking calls from moms who are worried about their sick kids, or, you know, we're dealing with customers that don't want to be our customers, right? And so we want to improve that patient experience, but we first have to start by creating an exceptional experience for our team members. And it's a philosophy that over the years we developed in our business called the Circle of Growth, because we can have choices about how to prioritize the decisions we make in any business, including healthcare. Are we going to let financials drive our decisions, or are we going to let people and our access to their talent drive those decisions? So in the Circle of Growth, it simply says that if we focus first and foremost on gaining the loyalty of our employees, then that's going to drive customer and patient loyalty. And then that loyalty is going to drive additional revenue and profits into our business, which we could then reinvest back in our people, giving them better tools and resources to do their jobs. And the cycle will simply continue. So we have to make sure that we are spending the right amount of time developing, training our people, rewarding and recognizing them for a job well done, giving them the basics that they need because they are the front line to our organization, and we have to show them some love so we can make sure that they treat our patients well. And there's a direct correlation between companies that treat their employees well that leads to a better customer, or in this case, a better patient experience, which will drive by better financial outcomes. And honestly, we have a long way to go in healthcare. So I encourage organizations, as I'm sure you do in your consulting work, to make sure that while we can talk about infrastructure, technology, process, all the things we have to work with, none of that's going to matter if we don't have the right team in place.
Yeah, I really want to thank you for writing the book because you shared data on the connection between like employee engagement and patient loyalty, sharing stories about how it worked in your organization, and you really left the readers with some real practical tools and tips to implement immediate change. And for that, I thank you, and I really appreciate that.
Well, it's my pleasure. I think that sometimes we don't talk about the things that we really need to talk about. And so hopefully this is a little bit of a wake-up call. We have plenty of things in healthcare to worry about with healthcare reform, the Accountable Care Act, all these things that are going on that are changing our world and the economics of our world. And all the more important to start by looking inside and making sure everyone's aligned in our work, in our organizations, and has a set of core values that they live by that's going to make it not only a better world, but make life better for all of the members of our teams.
Paul, we often talk about the work and effort that goes into marketing and advertising campaigns, and as well as the budget that goes in there. And oftentimes, or at least till recently, the frontline employees being in the contact center, their role really wasn't taken as serious or as important as it could be. And you made a comment that oftentimes they are the first point of contact. So a patient may hear about something the organization offers or word of mouth through a friend and pick up that phone, and that first experience with the organization could really determine their overall experience or perception of that organization. Are you seeing something similar to that? Are you seeing that the culture is changing to paying more attention to or valuing the contact center more?
If you think about what happens in our lives as we go out and go to a retail organization or go to a restaurant, every touch point has a big impact on our overall experience, and any one of those touch points could make or break whether we're going to go back to that restaurant again. It's no different in healthcare, and because the economics are changing, people are going to be making different choices. They're going to have more out-of-pocket expense. They're going to be taking control of their healthcare. They're going to be responsible for their family. So if I'm now being told that I need to visit a hospital from my doctor, do I not want to go up to a place where people enjoy what they do and I'm going to be treated well? Of course. And so if my first impression is I'm new to the area, I'm calling in and I'm looking for a doctor, or I'm making an appointment and that call doesn't go well, I have every reason to hang up that phone and call the next organization down the street, because there's multiple healthcare organizations in any market that I live in. And if I have skin in the game in terms of my own family's well-being and I have out-of-pocket expenses, then I'm going to take the time to shop. And if the first part of that shopping experience, so to speak, is a negative one, I'm gone and I'm on to the next one. So there's tremendous risk to organizations today. And what I'm happy about is that organizations are starting to see the importance, starting to see the value, and realizing that if we're going to do this, we've got to do it right, and we have to apply the right level of resource to it.
Well, you couldn't have said that better. You know, from the patient's perspective, that quality experience, that exceptional experience is demonstrated in countless moments of truth throughout every interaction they have with the hospital staff. And the call center plays a really big role in that. All of those interactions add up to some, you know, big experience that can either make them embrace us and build that loyalty that they tell their friends and family about us, or, you know, it makes them, as you said, dial the next number.
Well, that's right, and it can happen anywhere along the way. Look, when people value their hospital or their physician experience, it's generally not the clinical result that they complain about. Generally, the clinical result is good and it's fine. It's all the other stuff that happens before and after that can ruin the relationship. And you could have a perfectly good relationship throughout the continuum of care. And if you get a call from the contact center to collect the bill and that doesn't go well, you could now have ruined the entire relationship. And I've heard many stories just like that. So the importance of making sure every touch point is positive is what goes to customer and patient loyalty, so that down the road when a family member needs help, who are they going to think of? They're going to think of the place they went that where they had great service.
Paul, as you talk about how patients will come in and they'll really determine their experience, most times right off the bat with a phone call into the contact center. It's changed a lot over the last couple of years on how patients want to communicate with healthcare organizations, whether that's through text, through online patient portals. They're really driving the way that they want to communicate. And I often say that healthcare organizations aren't compared to other healthcare organizations. They're compared to other online experiences. So, for example, if I'm able to book a seat on an airplane or in a movie theater online or through my mobile phone, the frustration builds when, why can't I do that with my physician? That's the experience that I have in a movie theater. This is more important. Why does this organization not lend to what my needs are, what my communication wishes are?
Yeah, that's a big issue that we have right now, and my philosophy always in running Barrow Health and our contact center was to say that, number one, the consumer or the patient does have to drive that conversation. They need to tell us how they want to communicate, and we want to be multi-channel and basically say that, look, we want you to be able to communicate in any way you feel comfortable. The fact is we are in healthcare. So people still want to talk to people. The phone's not going to go away. But if people are willing to text, if people are willing to go online and make an appointment, not only is it going to be better service, but it's going to make it much more efficient for us to run our operations. And what I say is let's apply the right level of resource or technology to that customer that doesn't sacrifice the quality of the service. So whether it's automation, texting, going online and doing things on a self-serve basis. There are a lot of consumers that would love to do things on a self-serve basis. We need to make that available to them. We need to invest in the technologies that will allow us to keep up with the changing way that our consumers need to communicate. And we're dealing with multiple generations. So, you know, the elderly may want to communicate in a different way than the millennials. And based on the fact that we serve all different generations, we have to be able to respond to that. So healthcare hasn't been particularly good at that over time, and we're certainly behind other industries. But I think what you're seeing is the more progressive organizations that are taking this approach to the contact center being a key part of their growth strategy are making the necessary investments in technology to make it a multi-channel experience for their patients.
Paul, I'm sure many of our listeners would be interested in hearing, how do you keep up with all of these changes? And changes not just in technology, but employee engagement. What works with the new generation, and how do you truly create that outstanding customer experience from the first time that they contact you?
Well, I think the first thing is that the senior leaders in the organization have to bring in either experienced leaders that have not only customer service and healthcare and contact center experience, but those that have a real thirst for knowledge and are willing to learn. Because if we just focus within our four walls, we're not going to know what's going on out there in the industry. And so to me, it's as simple as being aware that we're in a constantly changing environment, embracing that, making sure that there are people on our team that are tasked with learning what's going on in the industry, joining organizations, networking to make sure that whether it's technology, employee engagement, process, there is a wealth of information available and associations that people can join that will keep them up to speed. And I think that's an obligation we have as leaders, then to report back to the senior executives in our organizations to say, here's what's going on in the industry, here's where we are, here's what we think would work for us, and make the business case on why we need to continue to invest in growth and development, not only of our people, but our infrastructure to keep up with this changing world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think, you know, it is an obligation. Otherwise, how do you spot threats and opportunities early on that give you a competitive edge, especially if you're someone who contributes to shaping your organization's strategy? So incredibly important to keep up on, especially your industry, but it's any of those that are aligned with your industry as well.
That's right, and there are companies like yours that are experts. Your job is to keep up with what's going on, and so healthcare organizations have sometimes had their head in the sand a little bit by just focusing on good clinical results, and now they're realizing that part of their business success and survival, honestly, is going to be based on this total customer experience, and they're getting involved in areas for which they don't have great expertise. So bringing in experts like you guys are in your group in Cingola Consulting are what this industry needs, I believe, in order to be successful, because we have to focus in healthcare on keeping our patients healthy and then bring in experts that can help us run other parts of our business.
Well, I couldn't have said that better, Paul. Thanks so much.
So, Paul, we've got about 3 minutes left. Any final thoughts from your side of what our audience can really take away with the contact centers of today and the importance of engaging their employees?
You know, I think, AJ, it's important for healthcare organizations, folks that are listening to this, understand that the world is changing. The contact center is no longer just a contact center. It is the front door, the back door. It is the middle of the patient experience. It's a critical part of the overall strategy. Once that's done, they should assess where they are today on this continuum and assign the appropriate resources in order to make this a big part of their strategy going forward. You can measure the results of everything that you do within a contact center, so it's fairly easy to test various technologies and systems to determine whether they work, to show ROI. I think it's most important that senior leaders in the organization are aligned and realize that not only is the contact center important, but the basis of the foundation is going to be, can I put together a workforce that's, whether it's 10 people or 100 people or 500, are engaged in what they're doing, that we're hiring people for fit and not just skill, and giving them an environment in which they enjoy what they do and are connected to a higher purpose in our organization. If we do that, that will drive much better outcomes for our patients and help us sustain our organizations going forward.
Very nice. Thank you, Paul. Paul, I can't thank you enough personally, as well as on behalf of all of our audience, for being our guest today on our first show, and I would safely say that we're off to a great start, and we hope all of our listeners have enjoyed today's show. This will conclude our show for today. Please join us next week when our topic will be managing contact center implementations, and our guest will be Brenda Robinson from Metro Health System in Cleveland, Ohio. Thank you again for joining us today, and remember, always put the patient at the center of every decision you make. Thank you for joining the conversation at Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingola Consulting. Cingola Consulting was founded with a single mission to help healthcare organizations realize their investment in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air to engage in a conversation about the patient experience with a focus on the development and optimization in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today. Thank you for listening.